This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Dravenstot. I'm here today with two of the top people at the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, Tony Perucci, Executive Director, and Liz Rosenkrantz, Director of Trails and Conservation. The Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor is the primary steward of the DNL Trail, a multi-use trail that runs through the heart of the Lehigh Valley on its 165-mile route from Wilkes-Barre to Bristol in Lower Bucks County. Tony and Liz, welcome to WDIY and Active Lehigh Valley.
Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, and hey, before we get into this, just a little transparency first. I'm a former DNL National Heritage Corridor board member and a donor and frequent user of the DNL, so I'm coming into this conversation with an admitted bias toward the DNL Trail, which helps keep me happy, healthy, and active. So I figure it's an appropriate thing to talk about anyway today and certainly won't impact the conversation. Let's start out by talking about the DNL Trail, about where it is, why it exists, and some of the history behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the DNL Trail is really an offshoot or creation of the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, which is a national heritage area. You're okay if you don't know what that was or what that is. That's pretty common. A national heritage area is really a congressionally designated region that was set aside for its national significance as it relates to its environmental and historical resources. So for us, for the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, those resources are the Delaware and Lehigh Rivers. And for the historical resources, it's all the history related to the anthracite coal mining and the production of steel here in the valley. So it's really a story that's not only locally significant, but it's also significant nationally, because the work that was done here bringing anthracite coal down from the mountains along the canals and for the production of steel and then transporting the steel out for ports is really a national story of our Industrial Revolution. That's why the National Heritage Area was created in the mid-1980s. Since then, we have become our own nonprofit in the early 2000s. And we're the organization, as you said at the outset, that has really spurred the production of the DNL Trail. And for the last 40 years, we've partnered with over 30 landowners to construct more than 140 miles of trail. We still have a ways to go, which I'm sure we'll talk about later today. But we're really excited to be able to provide what is an essential asset to the region. The mission of our organization is to really connect people to the asset that is the canals and the transportation networks. And we use them today not to bring coal and steel out to industry, right? But we use them for recreational purposes. And we use them to connect to the outdoors and to connect to healthy lifestyles. Our organization is really dedicated to connecting people to the trail and to those resources that are those historical assets, the canals and the transportation networks that serve a completely different purpose, but no less vital than they did back 150 years ago.
It's a corridor because back in the 1800s, it was a transportation corridor, and it still is.
Yep.
Just not as much coal.
Exactly. Not so much coal as it is just people on bikes and walking dogs and that sort of thing. It was a super highway back in the day, and it's just a different type of highway today.
Yeah, definitely. How are people using the trail? What are different ways people can use the DNL Trail?
So the DNL Trail is the longest multi-use trail in Pennsylvania, and when it's done, it'll be over 165 miles. So today, people are using it primarily as a recreation resource. Like Tony mentioned, they're going out, they're walking their dog, getting exercise. You can hike it, bike it, roll it, and people go out to get exercise, but also to socialize, to meet with friends and family, to get to businesses and towns along the trail. So it's a recreation resource, but also a transportation resource for a lot of folks. The DNL Trail connects multiple towns along the way that we call trail towns that then have trail-friendly businesses that support trail users. You can come in smelly off of your bike, need a water bottle refill and a bathroom, and they will welcome you with open arms. Some really great merchandise that celebrates local history and the communities themselves that people can visit along the trail. And it's also a way to get to the Delaware and Lehigh rivers and canals for water trails in our region, which are hugely helpful. So it's access to water sports like boating and fishing within our region. You can learn more about where to find your spot on the DNL Trail and how to use it on our website at delawareandlehigh.org. And if you click the menu button, you'll find a whole plan your trip page with lots of helpful resources.
And I think just to help people that are thinking geographically, certainly in the Lehigh Valley, the trail kind of goes through Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. But then from Allentown, it's north, and from Easton, it's south. Going north, what are some of the other towns that people might encounter along the trail?
Yep, the biggest one you've probably heard of is Jim Thorpe.
Right.
We also have Whitehaven is a really big up-and-coming town that's really embraced the trail, but you have tons of smaller towns, Weisport, Lehighton, all these communities that are right around the DNL Trail and the canals and railroads.
Right. Even Slatington and Walnut Park, right? Yeah, it goes right through the Lehigh Valley Gap. And going south from Easton, boy, a lot of little towns kind of right along the Delaware River, right?
Oh, yeah. The first one you'll hit is probably Regalsville. You have Point Pleasant. New Hope is a great town. And it all ends at Bristol, which is an amazing place to visit.
Yeah, so neat little places to explore that you can get to by biking or walking or however you want to get around, right?
Preferred mode of travel.
That's a great way to put it. How about some of those specific activities that people can enjoy through the trail and through the corridor, whether their history or their physical activities that they can do, considering this is Active Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, well, one of the great things that I'll plug, because it's our organization, is the National Canal Museum in Easton, which is a phenomenal museum. It's Smithsonian affiliate. It's a nationally accredited museum. It is open this month in October for boat rides. We have the only mule-drawn canal boat in the state of Pennsylvania, which is a really wonderful thing to take your kids on, and it's a great way to experience it. In October, we have it publicly available, the boat rides, only on the weekends, because in October we have a lot of school kids and field trips throughout the week. We also have a wonderful event coming up at the National Canal Museum, Canal-oween, which is taking place the last weekend in October from 10:30 to 4:30, both Saturday and Sunday, the 25th and the 26th. So those are wonderful ways that folks can get involved and enjoy amenities along the trail. Another great thing that is not necessarily a physical location, but a great way to utilize the trail is our program, Get Your Tail on the Trail, which is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. It is a health and wellness initiative that we have that really encourages outdoor recreation, outdoor activity. It is a self-paced challenge. So you could log on to our website and you can log on the miles that you travel along the trail or anywhere outdoors. It doesn't have to be the trail, but we always encourage use of the trail, of course. You can earn challenge badges and incentive prizes. This year, the incentive prize is a multi-use flashlight with a hammer and a bunch of other little tools attached to it. It's a great way for folks to challenge themselves to be more active. Also along the trail are wonderful interpretive signage. I mean, there's interpretive signage at trailheads along the trail itself, and this really gives you a sense of the history of the area you're traveling through. The trail is not just an outdoor recreational resource, but it's also a historical resource. And so those are wonderful ways that folks can learn about that while they're going out and about earning their badges for Get Your Tail on the Trail.
I know there are times where I'm on the trail and the history kind of strikes me from out of nowhere, where you realize essentially most of that canal was built in 2 years and dug by hand, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And we think about how long it takes to construct a bridge even now, right, around here. So you see this canal on your left or your right, depending on where you're at, and that people dug it by hand, and that if you're walking or riding or mobilizing on that path, that's where the mules actually went.
It's the towpath. Exactly.
It's the towpath, right. Yeah. And a lot of the locks are still in place, or at least the relics of the locks.
Yeah, it is a place where history lies lightly on the land. You could very easily see it on the surface. It's not something you have to dig for, which is a remarkable experience to be able to travel along, especially as we look around at the Lehigh Valley in particular, which is rapidly developing, to be able to go out into this open space area, which in and of itself is a wonderful resource, but then to see the historical resources right there readily available for you to see and learn about through the interpretive signage or going onto our website. We have a number of books for sale that will tell you about the history of the canal. It's a great way to connect to history and connect to what makes the Lehigh Valley and this five-county corridor so important and special.
And if you're taking part in an event or one of those programs like Get Your Tail on the Trail, I think it actually encourages you to try different sections of the trail and also different trails throughout the Lehigh Valley, many of which connect to the DNL.
Yeah, the DNL is a backbone trail for a number of trail networks. And that is really, I think, an important aspect to consider when we talk about what makes the DNL trail so important. Yes, it's its length, but it's also that backbone nature of the trail. So it connects the Link Network here in the Lehigh Valley, which is a number of trail, which Liz can talk a little bit more about. It connects to the Circuit Trail Network in Bucks County, which is the Greater Philadelphia Trail Network. And it connects to a growing network of Northeastern PA trails up in Carbon and Luzerne counties. And so it is a wonderful resource for you to be able to travel not just along the rivers, but to connect to those circuit trail networks and get you out into the counties and into the communities.
Liz, what are some of those interconnecting trails here in the Lehigh Valley that connect to directly to the DNL?
You have quite a few. You've got the Norbath Trail, the Slate Heritage Trail in Slatington. We have a number of trails that are getting closer to connecting, like the South Bethlehem Greenway and the Sauk and Rail Trail that goes all the way down into Bucks County when it becomes the Upper Bucks Rail Trail. We have the Palmer Bethlehem Bikeway that will eventually take you all the way up to Tatamy outside of Easton. And the Carl Sterner Arts Trail is a great trail in Easton that has some more interpretive signs and art pieces along it for people to explore. That's just a few. If you go on to thelink.com, you'll have a lot of different resources that will show you how to find your local link trail and a map to show you how they all kind of connect. And you can kind of build your awareness of all these resources that are right outside your door.
Well, in the movement to interconnect all these trails with the DNL as the spine or the backbone, that will allow people to really kind of navigate the area on these trails, you know, multi-use trails that are free of automotive and truck traffic and things like that. And they can feel safe and kind of enjoy some nature along the way, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's great. Are there other group activities or programs that the DNL does on the trail? I'm thinking, you know, of St. Luke's DNL Race Fest coming up, which I think was the first interview we did on Active Lehigh Valley, where I was on the other side of the microphone as a race director. But that's coming up in November, right?
It is November 9th. We have around 1,400 registrants so far. We tend to get a lot of registrants in the last month, and so we're expecting to hit about the 2,100 or 2,200 registrants. It's a great opportunity for folks to get out on the trail. If you're not quite ready for a marathon, we have a half marathon as an option as well, both a normal running half marathon, but also a walk, it's a wonderful way to make this an easier entry for participation. And it ends in Easton with a wonderful kind of fair-like activity that we have with vendors. And it's going to be a wonderful event. We're really looking forward to it. And that's on Sunday, November 9th.
And there's also a relay component too, right? With a 5-person relay team with, if I remember, even the shortest leg is just over a 5K.
Yeah. I mean, we're really trying to make this, I mean, a marathon can sound and can be intimidating for some folks, for many folks, for me, you know, for instance. But having these other ways to participate in the event, like a relay, like a half marathon walk, is a way that we can encourage folks to participate that might not be at the level where they're ready to run a marathon.
Or even participate as a volunteer.
We are still actively looking for volunteers. You can take a look at our website for sign-up opportunities. We will be accepting volunteers all the way up through to the day of the event.
That's great. I know there's some other ways we can volunteer on the DNL trail that we'll get to in the second half of the program here. We're going to take a short break. We are talking with Tony Perucci and Liz Rosenkrantz from the DNL National Heritage Corridor. This is Active Lehigh Valley. We'll be right back.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
And welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. We're here today with Tony Perucci, who's Executive Director, and Liz Rosenkrantz, Director of Trails and Conservation at the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, talking primarily about the DNL Trail. And we're going to spend a little time here talking about the status of the DNL Trail and getting it fully connected on that path from Wilkes-Barre all the way down to Bristol. Liz, tell us about the progress, especially in the Lehigh Valley right now, in connecting through the gap north of Allentown and how that's coming together and what progress you're making.
Thanks, Michael. I just want to clarify real quick what trail gaps are, because you hear trail gap and you kind of think, what is that? So a trail gap is an area where the trail doesn't exist yet. We build upon these historic transportation routes, and over the years, as the coal and navigation system sold off pieces, it went into different hands of ownership. So as we've worked to try and reclaim it for public property and public use as parks and trail, we end up with these gaps where it's a little bit more difficult to get those sections back. Most of them have active rail line on them, and it's coordinating to get through that hurdle. There are also places where the trail is closed due to storm damage or other natural factors that pop up. Those are usually short-term closures, whereas gaps can take many years to work through. In the Lehigh Valley, we have a 14-mile loop that consists of about 10 different projects, and it spans between mile marker 83, which is the Cementon trailhead, and 329, the bridge across the Lehigh River, down to mile marker 76, which is around Hamilton Street Bridge and Allentown Canal Park.
So you say, when you say loop, there's going to be trail on both sides of the river.
Eventually. That's the goal.
Yes.
The goal is to have a rail trail on the western side of the river where there is a historic rail bed, and then to have canal towpath along the Lehigh Canal on the eastern side of the river where we still have remnants and existing pieces of the Lehigh Canal there. So the goal is to work with multiple different landowners. Some pieces are still trying to acquire the right-of-way or the property where those historic routes were. Others are publicly owned, like Hanover Township and the city of Allentown on the canal towpath side, and they are actively engineering the trail, designing it, working through permitting, and we are very excited that the majority of the trail on the eastern side will be constructed and hopefully open in 2027.
That's great to hear. I know it's been a long time coming and a lot of people have been asking about it. And then how about over on the western side? I know there's been some progress there and also some things that need to get done.
The western side has had some huge support from the federal government through the RAISE grant that was granted to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. They're doing an amazing job developing Riverside Drive in the city of Allentown, and that includes the DNL Trail, a paved pathway next to the roadway. So pieces of that have already been built, and you could see them out there. Other pieces are in the works and are being designed and are being planned with the city of Allentown and Lehigh County and some other partners there. North of Race Street, which connects to Catasauqua, that section has not yet been acquired. So that's still privately owned, and we're working with partners to figure out how to potentially turn that into a trail.
Yeah, and we've used the term landowners a couple times. So you said more than 30 landowners. So those landowners could be, I guess, municipalities or counties or corporations, right?
Yep, we've got a few different types of landowners along the 165 miles. So it's a mix of local government, mainly municipalities, cities, boroughs, townships that own the trail within their community. It's usually considered a part of their local park system, their local trail. It might even have a local name. And then we also have counties that own sections of trail. We have two state parks, the Delaware Canal State Park and the Lehigh Gorge State Park up in Garbin County. And we also have a state forest. The trail is part of the Pinchot State Forest District. And there are two nonprofits that own trail, both up in the Luzerne County region, that are helping to develop trail pieces and also currently own and maintain trail pieces.
So I think an important point is that the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor doesn't own any of the trail. It's really all these landowners that do. But so what's the role of the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor in terms of being a steward? What does that look like?
So the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor was really formed upon this mission of connecting people to the historic transportation routes. And that mission lets us look at this five-county region and really tie together the trail to get this long-distance trail developed. And through that, we can be a convener for the local landowners. So in your local community, it might just be a two-mile, a half-mile section of trail that's really important to you. But we're able to connect you to your neighbor next door and then the neighbor next to them to end up getting this long-distance trail that can help you really travel from one community to another and from one county to another. So that's the role that we play. We come in and we help connect all of those different landowners. We provide resources through our grant funding. We're able to help with some maintenance. When they need technical support where the trail hasn't been developed yet, we're able to step in and help them write grants. We're able to help with project management if they don't have the capacity. Some landowners are large cities. Some is a municipality that maybe has one staff person, and they really need a lot of help to make this trail a reality for their residents to enjoy. So that's some of the ways that we can step in and help.
Perfect example there, going north out of Allentown into Hanover Township. You've got the biggest city in the Lehigh Valley and Hanover Township, Lehigh County, relatively small. You know, making sure that there's this consistent level of service and this consistent experience, because the user of the trail really doesn't know where that municipal line is. You don't want it to go from a 10-foot wide trail down to a 4-foot wide footpath, right?
That's it, exactly. We help tie in and make sure it's that consistent use so that people are able to enjoy it and not get off. And one section is road biking and the next you need a mountain bike to get through there.
And then we did talk about the gap in the Lehigh Valley, but there's also another gap, not so close to us here in the Lehigh Valley, but getting all the way into downtown Wilkes-Barre, where this trail is going to be right up against the Susquehanna River, right?
Yes.
Is the plan.
We call that the Luzerne Gap. It's okay. In Luzerne County, hence the name. It's about 20 miles with 7 projects, and it spans between the Susquehanna River in downtown Wilkes-Barre at mile marker 165 down to the Black Diamond Trailhead, which is mile marker 140. So currently when people ask us, where can I get on the trail to ride the whole trail? We say go to the Black Diamond, because while there are existing pieces north of there, you can't connect all the way through without getting onto the road. That project is also in multiple phases. Some pieces are set to start construction this year. Some pieces are working on acquisition so that we can then design and build the trail. We're very excited to work towards a connection to downtown Wilkes-Barre so people can get from all the amazing resources right next door. It connects to the Seven Tubs Recreation Area, which is a major hotspot up in that area, right down to the shops to have lunch right along the river.
How much does it cost to build trail, and where does the money come from?
It really depends on what the condition is when that landowner acquires that trail section. So an old rail bed that is fully graded, you know, it's flat, it's wide enough, it's got some stone there already, you just need to put some finer stone on top, is going to be relatively easy to do. Depending on the length, you still need grants to get that developed. It could be anywhere from a couple hundred thousand to a couple million, depending on how long it is. But then you come into some other things. Stormwater. Water is a major impact on trail. And I'm sure everybody that's been out on a trail has seen a section that after a rainstorm has washed away a piece. If you don't plan for that in the beginning, then you're not going to have a very enjoyable trail. And those are some really costly things. So when people see, you know, a grass path and you think, let's just put some stone on there. You could, but you're going to be putting stone on there every couple of weeks after every storm. So that's kind of what makes these projects, in some cases, multi-million dollar projects. And we work with landowners to get state grants and federal grants. And in some cases, there are also local grants that can help fully fund a project and get it built.
I've noticed, too, being on different parts of the trail, that the trail itself might, you know, seem kind of easy to build, but then you come to a creek crossing or something like that and you need to put a bridge in, right? Years ago, the DNL completed a bridge just south of downtown Jim Thorpe, and that was a significant project, right?
Yeah, the Mansion House Bridge was a huge project, and it had a lot of factors in it that we see with some other projects along historic resources. The county of Carbon and the borough of Jim Thorpe worked together to get that project developed. And as soon as they started excavating and preparing to put this bridge in, they discovered all sorts of historic resources that were buried underground. And that just halts everything.
Well, especially when the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor cares about history.
So that stuff always will impact a project timeline, could impact the cost, but it's worth it in the long run. Paying attention to everything that's there and making sure it's preserved and that you're building a resource that's going to be helpful for everybody. And you can actually see the historic beams from that bridge that were pulled out that used to be the old structures for the historic bridge that had crossed at that point.
Tony, tell us about some of the economic development benefits of trails. Like, a lot of people know them as a recreation resource, but it's really more than that, right?
It is. And, you know, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is blessed to have wonderful natural resources that attract people from around the country and really around the world to come out here and recreate. The outdoor recreational economy in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is over $19 billion annually in terms of an economic impact. The DNL Trail plays a role in that. People come to travel the DNL Trail. There are not that many multi-use trails that are as long and as wide-spanning as the DNL. And so folks who want to do a multi-day backpacking trip or biking trip travel from outside of the area to come here and participate in that here on the DNL Trail, connecting to local businesses, you know, staying in local hotels, buying from local restaurants. And all of this has an economic impact estimated at about $500 million a year annually in the five counties. So it's a significant economic engine for the local area, particularly for those communities like in Carbon County and Luzerne counties, where there are less industry and less economic activity. And so this has an outsized impact for those communities. But even here in the Lehigh Valley, particularly as we see the Lehigh Valley gap close over the next 10 years, we're going to see a greater economic impact for the local community. And the DNL participates in this through our Trail Town program, which is a wonderful program where we work with these communities that have the trail passing through them to help them put together comprehensive signage packages so that there is clear signage for people to navigate the trail and navigate into the downtowns and participate in those economic activities. And we are in the process of doing an assessment on that Trail Town program. It's been about a decade since we've had it. And it is just another way that the trail can impact local communities. And we mentioned earlier at the start of this conversation our trail-friendly businesses. We have about 80 trail-friendly businesses, and we're hoping to have about 85 by the end of the year. And these are businesses that are along the trail where we work with them to figure out how to tap into that network of trail users, which are potential customers for them. We also help advertise them to our trail users and connect our trail users to these businesses through our interactive map on our website, which is a wonderful resource for folks who want to kind of put together an itinerary for a travel, particularly like a multi-day travel along the trail. And you can see all the different trail-friendly businesses that are along the trail. So the trail really is a huge economic engine in the communities. It's only going to grow. I mean, we're seeing in the Commonwealth a huge investment in outdoor recreation, and that is going to be trickling down to the local area here, and we're going to see a greater increase in trail users, which is only going to be a benefit to businesses in the area.
And for people that have enjoyed the trail for a while or enjoy the history of it and they want to give back, what opportunities are there to volunteer or to contribute?
So we are always looking for people to join our membership program. We're in the process of revamping our membership benefits, and so stay tuned to our website and social media platforms for more information about that in the coming year. I'll let Liz talk a little bit about the volunteering opportunities to help along the trail, but we're also always open to having partners and supporters through donations. And again, you can look at our website for ways that you can donate to the trail specifically or just to our organization in general.
When it comes to volunteering out on the DNL Trail, there are a number of ways that you can get involved. Our broadest program is the Trail Tender Program. We'll do about 5 different cleanups out on the trail a year. We'll advertise them on our website. You just come join us. We bring the tools, we bring snacks, and you get to get out and clean up the trail. Sometimes you're trimming vegetation, sometimes you're picking up trash. You really don't know what's going to happen that day, but it's always a good time. If you have a business or a family group that would like to do a cleanup on your own, we can set you up so that you can go out and have a private trail tender event and clean up a section near you. We also have a program where you can adopt a section of trail, and you take care of that section all year long, volunteering at least once a month on your own time for a specific location along the trail. And then another way you can participate is trail patrolling, where you can go out and just on your general ride or walk, you're reporting to us what you see, because we have a limited staff and we don't always know what's out there. So you're really our eyes and our ears, letting us know how things are doing.
Great. Well, Tony and Liz, thanks for joining us here at WDIY and sharing an update on the DNL Trail.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And again, we thank our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network, who encourage us to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm Mike Drabenstock, and this is Actively High Valley.